As we begin our missions conference this morning, I was asked to address a basic question by way of introduction. The question is, why missions? Why missions? Why devote several days, the next 8 days and 2 Sundays, to this facet of the Christian life? Why devote the time and the energy to think about missions? Why go to the logistics and the expense of having missionaries spend time with us over the next few days to share their lives and their work and their burdens and their vision with us? So, why missions? Let's take a few minutes and explore this question together. The first response to why missions is this: missions reflects God's purpose. God's ultimate purpose, as you know, is His glory. That's God's kind of end of the day, end all be all of who He is. It's about His glory. It always has been, and it always will be about that. If you go back to the early pages of the Bible, we discover God's ultimate purpose. It's outlined for us in Genesis chapter 12, where God called Abraham from a pagan culture. Genesis 12, 3, God says to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So God chose a man to bless, and through that man, He blessed a tribe. And through that tribe, He blessed a nation, and through that nation, He has blessed the world. But this is just a means to an end. The end is God's glory. The end is that God be exalted in the earth forever and ever. We know this because the Bible teaches this. Let me show you. In Psalm 57, verse 5, it says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Psalm 72, 19, "Praise be to your glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with your glory." Psalm 108, verse 5, "The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory." Now, they don't today, but that's ultimately God's plan, that all the kings everywhere will bow and recognize who God is. Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Psalm 46:10 captures it in 22 words. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So God's ultimate purpose is that He receive glory throughout the whole earth, praise from the whole world. That's God's ultimate purpose. Missions reveals God's purpose, which is His own glory. But how is this purpose realized? How was it achieved? That leads us to the second why. Why missions? First, because missions reveal God's purpose. But missions also reflect God's plan by which His purpose is accomplished. So, just before Jesus left the earth to return to heaven, He leaves a simple and yet profound command to His disciples. And by extension, He left this command to every Christian in every generation since that day. Matthew 28, verse 18. "Then Jesus came to His disciples and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Every generation has that mandate. One way God is glorified is through the redemption of lost people. It's not the only way that God is glorified, of course, but it's a very important way that God receives glory, through the redemption of lost people. God is exalted as he extends his grace and his mercy to people who don't deserve either of those things. And when they respond to his offer in faith and they are adopted into God's family, God gains an exalting, glorifying worshiper forever. Forever. But it doesn't just happen. It begins by design. And then it's given direction by a plan. And then it's accomplished through obedience and execution. Paul describes the issue perfectly in Romans chapter 10, which we looked at in some detail a few months ago. He writes, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach to them unless they are sent?" The answer? They can't. They can't. Someone must tell them. If no one tells them, they won't know. In fact, if someone had not told you, you would not know. And if someone had not told the person who told you, they would not know, so you would not know either. And on it goes, all the way back to the first person who told the first person. And this process must continue, or what will happen is there will be people who don't know. They just won't know of God's saving grace. Everyone must hear, so everyone must be told. And because we live in a world of obstacles, mountains, oceans, and even cultures, somebody has to travel over land and sea and across cultures, different people think differently than we do, act differently than we do, they have a different language than we do, they have different values than we do, but someone must span that gulf. Or else there will be people who don't hear. I love the way Paul put it in his letter to the Corinthian believers. He said, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Missions reflects God's plan to accomplish his purpose of bringing glory to himself. But there's a third and a last reason for us to consider today for why missions, and that is missions results in God's pleasure. Now, you might wonder, how is pleasure possible for a being who doesn't need anything? God doesn't need anything. He's totally without needs. He has no lack. He has no deficiency in any way or in any sense whatsoever. Not in character, not in resources, not in power. Pleasure being a need and God having no needs, then we might wonder, how and why does missions bring God pleasure? But needing pleasure and wanting pleasure are not identical. We know God experiences, for example, joy and grief and anger. The Bible tells us he does. And other emotions as well. Emotions are not deficiencies. Emotions are just how we feel. The Bible teaches us that when God is glorified and exalted and honored for who he is and for what he does, he receives pleasure. It brings him pleasure, delight, joy. We get a glimpse of this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure." It was according to God's good pleasure. Psalm 149:4, "For the Lord takes delight in his people." That's pleasure. God delights in his people. Jesus says in Luke 15:7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. Does that sound like pleasure? Delight? Over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need to. Paul writes his protege, Timothy, that there are things God takes pleasure in. So he says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Ephesians 5:10 exhorts us to find out what pleases the Lord. So God takes pleasure. He takes pleasure in lost people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That brings him pleasure. Now, why is that? Well, first, because God's ultimate purpose is his glory. Remember that if you don't remember anything else today. God's ultimate purpose is his glory. Missions reveals that purpose because missions is about reaching those who don't yet know the Lord. And when they come to know him, God is glorified. Every time someone comes to faith in Christ, God is glorified. But that purpose needs a plan. That plan is missions. Missions is the plan by which God's purpose is accomplished. And when the purpose of God is revealed and reflected, and when the plan of God is understood and implemented and obeyed, it results in God's glory. God's pleasure is found in his glory. So you see, it brings us full circle all the way around. So, why missions? That's where we started. Why missions? First, missions reveals God's purpose. What is God's purpose? His glory. Right. God's purpose is his glory. Second, missions reflects God's plan. A purpose will not be fulfilled unless there's a plan to fulfill it. Missions is that plan. And third, missions results in God's pleasure. Nothing gives God more pleasure than his own glory. And how else could it be? God is the ultimate being in the universe. There is no one higher than God, no one more exalted than God. So nothing less than worship, nothing less than adoration and exaltation by everything and everyone will do. I mean, the Bible teaches that even nature glorifies God. So certainly people should. So through missions, God is glorified. And through God's plan, or through missions, God's plan is implemented. And finally, God's pleasure is assured. So with that introduction, I think we're ready to go deeper in our understanding of missions. Do you agree? Okay, let's do it.